The following program is produced and furnished in conjunction with John Gilroy of Lectromech, which is entirely responsible for its content.
Welcome to Federal Tech Talk with John Gilroy of Lectromech, providing solutions to design, certify, and maintain aircraft wire systems. Every week, John speaks with public and private sector IT experts about some of the IT trends and challenges facing agencies and industry. Now your host, John Gilroy.
Welcome to Federal Tech Talk with John Gilroy here on Federal News Radio 1500 AM. In the studio today, we have two gentlemen, and we're going to talk about compliance and data collection and healthcare IT and a whole wide range of topics. In the studio this morning, we have Kirk Kauser, he's the CEO, and Chad Baker, director at a company called Next Logic. Good morning, gentlemen. How are you?
Good morning, John. Great.
Thank you.
You know, I want to set up this discussion so my listeners kind of figure out why they should even listen to the discussion. Back in February, I moved, and I had the guys from JK Moving come out, and they had a tablet. They walked around the house. They gave me my quote before they left. It was fantastic. And he went out, and he probably went to five houses in the rest of that day. So he was very, very efficient. Okay, let's fast forward to September. Sit in my kitchen in September, knock on the door. It was the Census Bureau. Dacia was there, and she wanted to know everything. And guess what she had? She had a little portable device, too, and she's collecting data, generating reports. It dawned on me that there are many federal agencies and commercial companies as well whose task is, or one of their tasks, are to collect data, generate a report, and make a decision based on that data. And you can call that compliance, you can call that certification, you can call that many different things. And what I wanted to do is bring in some people who have worked in public-private partnerships and talk about some of the challenges involved in collecting data and some tools that can be used and maybe some new tools that can be used and talk about, you know, things like ISO 9000 and hospital accreditation and compliance. And so that's why we have these two gentlemen in here. So when you hear the company Next Logic, you've never heard of them, the federal government, well, they're kind of a new company based in Columbia, Maryland, and what I'll let these two do is tell about their backgrounds first, then we'll get into the discussion about compliance and data collection. Kirk, tell us about your background, how you wound up with this company, please.
I will. Thank you for letting us be here this morning. Majority of my history comes in the banking world, specifically credit unions, in Tennessee, actually. We're very, you know, very heavily regulated industry. In time, we did a lot of internal audits there, and during those periods of time, we saw compliance, internal auditing going up, and we still see that in that industry today. But it was very heavily paper oriented. There was a lot of manual intervention in that process. So it was something that has carried with me over time. I continue to be involved in that industry, look at that industry, and see how we can help them even today. And after I moved from Tennessee up to this area, to Columbia, Maryland, I became a part of an organization called COLA. COLA is the largest private clinical laboratory accrediting organization in the nation. And COLA had their primary goal was to create efficiencies in how they gathered data from their approximately 7,500 laboratories located around the nation through surveyors going into those laboratories. Well, we created a solution, a very efficient solution for our surveyors, allowing them to create a real-time communication with our customers. And what that changed was how fast data was collected on-site, delivered back to headquarters, and provided back to our customers through a client portal. And we saw that we were onto something there, and we had other organizations starting to come to us and look for that same type of solution and to really change how we were working with our customers, and that led to us starting Next Logic and leading to our flagship product, CompWalk.
Which leads to Chad. Yes. Chad, tell us about your background in compliance, please.
Well, I've been for many, many years, roughly 15 now, working with organizations who are charged with creating standards, going out and making sure that their customers are in compliance from anything. From healthcare, HIPAA compliance. Now, there aren't that many organizations like that out there, but through the process of working with those types of organizations, I found that their customers that are the ones that are charged with being in compliance are constantly begging for guidance, for interpretations, for some sort of process that is going to help them more easily manage what they need to show. What do I need to show you to make sure that I maintain my, compliance? And on top of that, what do I need to do continually to make sure that not only am I in compliance, but that I'm running my business efficiently? So I guess when I turned 41, I had a little bit of a midlife crisis and decided to go out and start helping those organizations instead. I found Kirk, and he was kind of going down that path. So I jumped on board with him, and we've been trying to get the word out there.
Great. In that chair sat a gentleman by the name of Damon Davis, and we had a lot of fun in the air. He works at HHS. He's in charge of the Idea Lab, and one of his jobs is to meet companies that have offerings or innovations that can help with healthcare. They call it a public-private partnership. It means many different things. How do you define it, and where does your organization fit in with public-private partnerships and healthcare entities?
Well, being involved with COLA, and COLA being our parent company for today and for many years, it gives us an opportunity as a private organization now, as a for-profit organization now, to have an to have a clear understanding of how we were able to help COLA, how we're able to help other CMS-deemed organizations like COLA. In addition, how we can help, how we're helping other organizations who are doing the same process, because we found that over time, people are reaching for the same goals. They want to be able to efficiently, in real time, collect data through a type of assessment and deliver that back and to their headquarters so it can be audited and shown back to the customer in real time, so the customer's engaged in that relationship. And what's not happening today is it's very paper-oriented, and it's not real-time. So that's where we're changing. That's where we're changing and using CompWalk as a tool beneficial to these organizations.
You know, Chad, I'm in the classroom a lot, and I tell my students that I went to high school with Ben Franklin, and, you know, they really think I went to high school with Abraham Lincoln. But I've seen this idea of paper collection, the old-school way of you'd get in an airplane, fly to Chicago with some paper, take some notes, come back in, spend 8 hours at your desk, generate a report, and then do it again, a very slow and time-consuming process. From the perspective of, like, let's take spin off of HHS and healthcare accreditation, how is it done traditionally, and how are new ways or new solutions to collecting data and making evaluations, Chad?
Traditionally, I just came off of working with a number of healthcare organizations in a symposium last week in Nashville, and the biggest questions that they're asking are, what questions should we ask ourselves? Traditionally, they are collecting data internally. They don't know exactly what to do with that data. They've got spreadsheets. They've got EHS. We know that interoperability is a huge issue. So they've got all these systems with all this data. One of the big pushes is to pull all this data together. And dashboards are great, but what you actually do with that data is what folks are striving for. What we've done is we've tried to put the most salient points that have to do with compliance to a particular set of standards, be it a joint commission is coming in for an audit, or someone like a DNB is coming in for an audit, or there's a HIPAA audit coming up. The best thing you can do is internalize that, be looking at what your processes are, and as long as you're following a process and remaining in compliance internally to something like an ISO 9001, you find that those audits are much less daunting. What the difficult thing is actually pulling together all the proper policies, seeing where there are issues, being able to trace those issues through to resolution, being able to continually approve or improve based on the issues that you're seeing, trend those issues, and then look across industry and see where are the problem areas? Where are these issues for, you know, other organizations in the industry? Healthcare is an amazing industry where they are uber competitive, but they're also highly collaborative, because it's all about patient safety. It's all about the patient experience. And what we're trying to do is pull all the proper data together into one place, make it simple so that I can very quickly, as an internal quality auditor at a hospital or a healthcare system, find the problem areas and very quickly be able to create training around them, act on them, so that I'm always going to be in compliance.
So let me get this straight. So NextLogic, L-O-G-I-K, is a company that has a product, and the product is called CompWalk. and you can go to compwalk.town and get information. And what CompWalk does, it allows people using mobile devices to efficiently collect data for compliance purposes. Could be healthcare IT, it could be building compliance, it could be the Census Bureau. So that's essentially what we're talking about today is new tools that can help my listeners collect data for compliance purposes. Pretty good summary?
Absolutely.
Great. Let's take a little break. We come back, we'll explore many of the concepts involved in ISO 9000, maybe talk about some blogs and some PDFs you can download and learn more, and maybe find out about what's going on in the DoD with all this proliferation of Apples and Androids, and they have the tools right in front of them to do a lot of data collecting, so they might as well use those tools, shouldn't they? You've been listening to Federal Tech Talk with John Gilroy on Federal News Radio 1500 AM. In the studio, Kirk Kauser, CEO, and Chad Baker, director at a company called NextLogic. Welcome back to Federal Tech Talk with John Gilroy here on Federal News Radio 1500 AM. In the studio this morning, we have Kirk Kauser, he's the CEO, and Chad Baker, the director of a company called NextLogic, N-E-X-T-L-O-G-I-K, if you want to Google that. And they have a product, and the product is called Comp, C-O-M-P, CompWalk, and it helps people collect data for many different aspects. You can collect data for building compliance. You can collect data for healthcare IT. And we talked about many different aspects of this. And during the break, I was thinking about this guy named Jesse Ventura, and he was in this movie called The Predator, if you remember it. And he said, oh, I don't have time to bleed. There's too many things to do. Well, many times, people from the GSA or people are conducting an audit, they don't have time to meticulously grab all the stuff and get it back and move it. They have to have some kind of a way to collect it easier than the old school way of maybe papers and taking photographs and scanning things. I mean, you know, scanning things in and taking photographs, that's pretty much 2005 in a great way back then. But now, I mean, there has to be better ways to do it. And in the first block of the discussion, we talked about NextLogic and some innovation products that they have, which is CompWalk. Well, I want to just toss it to you, Kirk. How did it start and how did the product even evolve?
So it started at COLA, our parent corporation. Again, COLA is the their CMS deemed authority. They're the only ISO certified accrediting body for healthcare labs, and COLA was constantly focused on quality and efficiency. And so the idea of ensuring that while our surveyors were in clinical laboratories across the nation collecting the data in an efficient process, and bringing it back to headquarters in a real time manner was where this product came from. We are in the laboratories making sure that the time spent there is not about data collection in the manner that you're speaking of in the old way, about taking pictures, about doing it in some manual intervention, but we're doing this through mobile devices now. And we're spending more time in the lab educating personnel there about ways that they can be better. We took compliance and we wanted to be more than just about citations. We wanted to be about how can we help our customer create quality. And that's where we created CompWalk.
You know, many of my listeners are govies, and they'd be looking at companies that want to maybe do projects for them. And ABC company may say, well, hey, I'm ISO 9000 certified, 9001 certified. You mentioned it earlier. And many people have many scratch my head going, ISO 9, what the heck is that? And Chad, maybe for the benefit of our audience, you can talk about what ISO 9001 is and how it applies to healthcare IT or many aspects of what our listeners are involved in.
Well, I think you've said GSA a couple of times. I believe they were one of the first to actually become ISO 9001 certified.
And a government entity? Wow.
A government entity, if you can believe that. And I think it was their real estate division you keep talking about, building compliance and management.
Because they send people out all the time. You're checking on boilers, you're checking on space conditions. They have to.
They do. You know, the cool thing about ISO as it relates to healthcare IT, It's somewhat new for healthcare. A lot of folks think about manufacturing when they think about ISO 9001, 2008 specifically. In 2008, CMS approved the first new deeming authority for Medicare payments in over 40 years. I won't mention who that was because it's not a commercial for them. But ISO is really considered the gold standard and was a big part of that decision because this new accrediting body, certification body, was actually integrating their standards with ISO 9001:2008 into their quality program. ISO is really, it's about, they, just to give you a little bit of a background, they look to eight core management, quality management principles. Customer focus is a huge one. Leadership, involvement of people, process approach, system approach to management, which is how all those processes are interrelated, continual improvement, a factual approach to decision making, and mutually beneficial supplier relationships. I like to take, that's eight, I like to boil it down to three. Three C's: consistency, customer satisfaction, and continual improvement. Any business is going to benefit from these things. Any business, you have to work for ISO a little bit before ISO works for you, but any business, if they take an approach to internal auditing, which is a big part of ISO, and they look at their processes, they look at their systems, they look at their leadership, they're able to find gaps, and they're able to find cost savings, and they're able to find better ways of doing business. In healthcare, that means patient safety.
Let me try to summarize it. So ISO organization been around since 1987. They came up with a 30-page summary of standards in 2008, another one coming out in 2015. And so if you're an ABC company and you want to become ISO certified, the two-step process is an internal audit and an external audit. And there are tools that you can have. In fact, there's a tool that you'll provide that can help healthcare professionals with an internal audit. Is that right, Chad?
The internal audit is a huge part of that. And it's really not about if you scour the internet, you'll find a ton of resources, checklists on how to actually conduct an internal audit. Now, we do work with some organizations, industry specific, on creating templates for, you know, how do I go about this? Because really, the getting started is the most difficult part. What do I ask myself? What do I look for? Where do I find this information? Who should I involve? But it's different for everyone. It's not prescriptive. ISO is not a prescriptive thing. So that's why there are so many consultants out there that are willing to step up and help you out. What we've tried to do is create a framework that allows you to very quickly create as many different Q&A processes that you might need and be able to change them, track any incidents that you find, track those gaps that you find, be able to administer that on your own without prescribing, without a template, because every business is different. And ISO 9001:2008 allows for that and actually encourages it. Every business is different. You are looking at this at the specific to your business where the problem areas may lie. All we're doing is we're giving you simple tools to walk around with. Compliance walkthrough is where CompWalk came from. I want to be able to walk around my building with a device, collect this information from the template that I created or that I worked with NextLogic to create, in order to make sure that I'm doing business the best way that I can, and I'm going to be in compliance the next time an external certification body comes in to look at my business to make sure that I am.
So, Chad, let's say there's snow on the ground and we're talking about the Super Bowl here, and someone's listening to this interview, and they want to maybe download a PDF. I think your organization has a PDF they can download, especially regarding healthcare as far as this compliance goes, don't they?
We do, and just because it's a hot topic right now, we did put together some tips from industry. I had mentioned sitting in on a symposium of over 200 healthcare providers and quality folks from health systems, where they had a lot of great questions, and a lot of those questions were answered. So I just put together a quick two-sheeter, practical tips from industry for healthcare, optimizing the internal audit for healthcare. Doesn't mean you're going on an ISO 9001 journey. Just because you're doing an internal assessment, it doesn't make it punitive. It's an exercise in continual improvement.
Now, I was just thinking about before I sold my house, as my real estate agent came out and helped me do an internal audit of my house before we sold it. You know, and it was kind of a rough checklist, wasn't it? Well, I know what I had to do and didn't have to do. Now, if you go to compwalk.com and download the PDF, I think the PDF is titled "Optimizing Healthcare Internal Audits: Practical Lessons from Industry." I like me some practical. So that's what the PDF is all about, isn't it?
That is correct, yes.
Yeah. I think a good formula is not sitting back and wondering what questions people are asked, but listening to the questions and the answers and then combine them and provide some kind of a tip sheet or some useful information for people all over the place. And I think if my listeners are thinking about, you know, sending people out, and what about FEMA? FEMA has to send people out and make sure different facilities comply with standards. You know, I'm sure the Department of Energy has people that look to see if they're complying energy saving standards and everything else. So there's all kinds of applications for collecting data and trying to see if it complies with standards. What I'd like to do is take a little break and come back, and I want to explore this concept of public-private partnership and people like NIST and HHS creating standards, and then organizations outside the government have to implement those standards. And I think there's a way that the government can work with organizations like yours and other organizations to help make that process a little bit more efficient than the old Jesse Ventura of don't have time to bleed and running around with a camera and maybe a photocopier and a checklist and getting items. That just is just not efficient, not the way it's done here in 2014. You're listening to Federal Tech Talk with John Gilroy here on Federal News Radio 1500 AM. In the studio today, we have Kirk Kauser, CEO, and Chad Baker, director at NextLogic. Welcome back to Federal Tech Talk with John Gilroy here on Federal News Radio 1500 AM. In the studio today, we have Kirk Kauser. He's the CEO, and Chad Baker, the director of a company called NextLogic. They have a product called CompWalk for helping people collect data for compliance purposes. And they do a lot of work with healthcare industries and all kinds of industries. And I think there's some application here for my Govy listeners, because I think many of my Govy listeners are in situations where they have to collect data. Department of State, you can't tell me they don't have to collect data remotely, maybe for security purposes for different embassies. I'm sure they're collecting data and try to see if they comply to standards. Many of my listeners, many of my students read blogs. My blog is called Tech Tuesday Blog. Let's toss this right to you, Kirk. Do you read any blogs? Is there any blogs you can suggest my listeners to read to keep up with this idea of data collecting and compliance?
Absolutely. There's a great blog that Chad's written.
Oh, he wrote it. You're tossing right. Oh, I see the $20 bill going back and forth right there. There you go, Chad.
Let's let Chad talk about it.
Well, you're always forwarding things to me from Compliance Week, I believe it is. He's reading other blogs. No, I certainly blog. I learned from the best, I'm trying my best to stay on top of that every week. The topics are primarily around field data collection and compliance as it relates to compliance. Now, field data collection doesn't always have to relate to compliance. There are a lot of issues out there that surround that, but very recently I did want to call attention to one of our great customers, BOC's Board of Certification, and they're actually a CMS-approved certification organization for a very competitive area.
There's the public-private partnership.
Yep, which is durable medical equipment. It's highly competitive, and you know, for our customers, we wanted to make sure that we got the word out that their surveyors have taken a brand new approach to the whole customer focus of an on-site survey, where you know. Your DME, durable medical equipment providers, may be doing their own internal audits, and they should be. But when it comes time for an outside certification by an outside entity to come in, you need to rely on the surveyors that come to be able to very efficiently utilize your time, be able to find the information. And you know, that's how did BOC come to you? They actually were here before I started working.
They were. BOC, actually, we created a relationship where BOC was a very innovative organization, was looking at a much more efficient approach in how they were doing their on-site surveys.
Well, that's a good, you know, there are probably people listening who are saying, well, this is how we always done it with digital cameras and reports.
Exactly.
So that's how BOC was doing it. And why'd they change?
Well, they were taking heavy laptops out there. They were not connected to the internet. They were using spreadsheets. They were taking cameras. Even printers.
In 1994. What year is this now?
So they changed because CompWalk is a device agnostic platform. Their surveyors had Android devices. They had iOS devices. They had iPads. Now they're able to go out with an iPad on a survey and, to Chad's point, much more efficiently spend time with their customers answering the questions through the device, even taking pictures and uploading that as part of that permanent record.
You know, you don't have to go back to the office and pick up the ABC hardware, because they have hardware. They're probably watching a movie on the plane anyway on their iPad.
They're taking the device that they're already carrying, to your point, and now they're making a much more useful opportunity of the time that they have with their customer and not carrying around all this heavy equipment.
So I guess BOC is a good use case, as the software developers would say, and the people in my classroom would say, a case study of a traditional approach to collecting data for compliance, whether it's for healthcare, for laboratories, whatever, and they switch to instead of using I'm trying to phrase this. Instead of using dedicated devices, they use their own. They use bring their own devices.
They're
they use their own
devices,
but use a service provided by CompWalk.
Exactly.
And so they're going to be comfortable with that device anyway. They're going to know how long the battery is going to last. They can probably have a little carrying case for it. Everything else, so they might as well use it there.
Right. They're bringing their own keyboards that they're already familiar with. None of the data is actually stored on the device. So from a security perspective, all of it's on a secure environment, and it's in real time communicated back to headquarters. So as soon as they hit send, headquarters is already aware about it, and is already starting to do their internal approach on that quality assessment that their surveyors had done at location.
And Chad was just, he's in Tennessee last week, I forget where he was, and you come back on the plane, it's 11 o'clock at night, you got to find your car, it's raining, you get home, it's midnight, you know, there's no food in the refrigerator, and then you got to write up a report? I mean, no way! You wanted to get drink a beer and watch the news or something, you know, Chad? So that helps my listeners at least get home at night and not be too frustrated.
Well, that's really where the idea of increased customer service becomes a factor as well, because, you know, those customers, especially in a compliance arena, they want to know how they're doing. They're begging for it. There's tons of regulations out there, and there's tons of consulting organizations, but there's not a whole lot of guidance. Everyone is looking for guidance. And when an external entity is in my environment to actually see how well I'm doing in terms of compliance to specific regulations, how much better is that time spent when I don't have to dig around for things, when the surveyor can very quickly spit out a report, share it with me, and then educate me and spend the time that they're going to be there anyway and educate me on, you know, what are the pitfalls? Where are the areas that we can be better? It's, you know, to go back to the beginning of our story, that's kind of where that crosswalk to the actual education and creating educational opportunities is where COLA was able to combine efforts with technology and process and actually win a quality award for it.
It did.
So Kirk, let's get a little envelope here and get a piece of paper or something and a pencil and go, they collect data. It takes 4 to 8 hours to collect the data, and then they got to review it another 2 to 4 hours, and then there's breaks, and there's sick days, and there's snow days, and then there's people out in California who wanted, did they pass? I mean, would BOC change this old school process and using a different process with mobile devices and a cloud-based solution? I would assume that's what it is, sitting in the cloud somewhere. And it's like that guy who did the evaluation on the house move. I mean, he went to my house, did it all. I'm sure he did 5 more that day. In the old school approach, maybe he'd do 1 in a day instead of 5.
Exactly. And to Chad's point, you know, this gives the opportunity. It makes it much more efficient time in that location. And they're able to spend that opportunity actually educating the folks at that location about how they can be better. And that's what, going back to the beginning of this, that's what led COLA, and that's what COLA's focus was on, and that's what led them to get the American Society of Quality Award. This is a once-in-a-lifetime award presented to an organization on utilizing technology to increase quality in their organization and for their customers. And that's what we took that intellectual property and how we created COMPO.
You know, Todd Park sat in that chair, Chad, 2 years ago, and he talked about improving quality and reduce expenses for healthcare in general. And that's a nice platitude to say, well, we want to improve quality and reduce costs. But this is actually putting in work boots, saying, okay, here it is. We can actually show you how we can improve quality and reduce costs because you got the ASQ award. Now, this isn't something that, you know, you get at the 7-Eleven, Chad. It's a special award. It's hard to get, isn't it?
I got mine at 7-Eleven, actually. It's a once in a lifetime. I think you said that.
It is.
It does not happen very often.
Yeah, and ASQ has got a LinkedIn group with a lot of active members, and I'm sure some of my audience members are listening, and maybe the blog post based on this interview will be posted at the ASQ group. You never know where it's going to get posted. It's always interesting. We've got about another minute before the break. Chad, I want to ask you about this public-private partnership. So organizations like HHS and NIST come up with standards, and they say, okay, good luck, and then other organizations can be accredited with being providing certification standards or people who they can evaluate the certification. So where does ISO fit in as far as healthcare accreditation goes in the whole process here?
It really goes back to customer focus, and really the a certification body is going to have a lot better opportunity to focus on the customers and be able to educate them than the federal government is. So as we move forward, the government is, you said it yourself, that they're always going to be looking for ways to save money and to improve quality. And that leads us back to the ISO discussion. And that's why government and healthcare are really trying to focus in now on this ISO 9001:2008.
So if you want to read the blog post titled A Comparison of Two On-Site Quality Assessment Approaches, You can just fire up your little browser and go to comploc.com and read that and maybe download the PDF or get a perspective on how traditional ways of collecting data worked and didn't work and how new ways can improve efficiency in many different levels. Let's take a little break and come back, talk more about collecting data and compliance, and maybe touch on some healthcare issues that we haven't mentioned earlier. You're listening to Federal Tech Talk with John Gilroy here on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM. In the studio this morning, we have Kirk Kauser, CEO, and Chad Baker, director at a company called Next Logic. Welcome back to Federal Tech Talk with John Gilroy here on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM. In the studio this morning, we have Kirk Kauser. He's the CEO, and Chad Baker, the director at a company called Next Logic. For more information, you can, of course, go to nextlogic.com, or you might want to go to compwalk.com and download some PDFs, maybe read some blog posts, get some more information on the company. What we're talking about is a problem that many of my listeners have is collecting data and evaluating that to a standard and what's an efficient way and not efficient way to do that. One efficient way I know to communicate information is with Twitter. All kinds of people on Twitter. My Twitter handle is at Ray Gilray. Chad, you folks are active on Twitter. How can people follow you on Twitter?
I go down a number of different paths. At Chad, C-H-A-D underscore CompWalk, C-O-M-P-W-A-L-K. And a lot of times, at CompWalk will retweet me something interesting that I like to do. I don't know whether people like it or not, but I'm always looking around my environment for symbols of quality. If I'm at the doctor's office and I see, you know, a Joint Commission plaque on the wall, I'll go ahead and snap a picture of it and just remind people in everyday life to look for symbols of quality. And maybe they'll think about how difficult it actually is to collect all that data and make sure that, you know, for their doctor's office to actually make sure that they're in compliance and that their doctor's office is actually doing something about patient safety and trying to save money.
You know, in today's world, the symbol of quality is the new iPhone. And we started off earlier talking about the DoD. Headline news, breaking news, DoD to ramp up deployment of Apple Android phones. Now, I'm thinking, I'm scratching my head going, well, you know, I want to be able to use something on these phones if I have them sitting there. And I want a product that maybe just isn't limited to one or the other. So this product we've been talking about today can be used on a bunch of different devices.
It can. It's they're native apps. You know, we intended on ensuring that from the beginning it was device agnostic. It was a mobile first. It was a mobile first solution. So we created Android apps that you can get straight from the Google Play Store. iOS apps that'll fit both your new iPhone, especially even the big iPhone, and your iPad, any version that you can get from Apple Store. We even developed for the Windows Phone as well, and looking forward to our Windows 8.1 and future 10 native apps, so that no matter what device you have, and now we're seeing it in the government where moving from BlackBerry to Android and iOS devices, that you already have the device in hand, you already have the piece of hardware. We have a solution for you that you can use on that device.
Many people are listening to you two gentlemen here. One has a little accent, one doesn't have an accent, and they're wondering, well, I wonder who is the card-carrying nerd here, you know? I mean, they're both involved in technology, and so I have devised a scientific 10-question test that's going to give you an immediate evaluation, by the way. I will collect data in front of your very eyes, and we'll find out who the nerd is, who isn't the nerd here. So, Chad, I'm going to give you these questions first, then I'm going to toss to Kirk, and we'll find out who, in fact, is wearing the pocket protector and has the, I guess, the white socks or whatever nerds wear. I don't know. So, Chad, break into your house tonight. How many old-school desktops do we have sitting around your house?
Zero.
Ooh, that's the right answer. And, Chad, how many cell phones have you purchased in the last year?
Well, Kirk gave me one, so zero.
Ah, zero. And Chad, do you have a personal Twitter feed?
I do, yes. Okay. At Chad, okay. C-H-A-D underscore CompWalk.
And do you have a personal blog?
I do, yes. I do. It's on CompWalk. Oh, you mean personal?
Yeah. Uh-huh.
Oh. Can I? Well, I could send people to my wife's blog.
Oh, no, it doesn't count. Okay.
Next question. Only a business blog.
What kind of smartphone do you have?
I have an iPhone.
Okay. And what was the most popular app you used on that in the last 30 days?
When I was in Nashville, I know I'm late to the game, but I discovered Uber. And it's the most amazing thing ever.
I think I'm going to have to start asking, besides Uber, what is the most, because everyone says Uber in the survey. And we break into your house site, how many tablet devices do we find?
Well, Kirk gave me a bunch of those too. Well, because you know, because we're device agnostic.
Yeah, you have to have
sure
a bunch of them.
I have a bunch. Well, yeah, it works on this too. So with that, and between the four kids and my wife, there's probably eight.
Whoa! And when was your most recent post in a social networking site?
Yesterday, I shared something from
Joint
Commission.
Oh, big points. And do you have a mobile fitness device? I don't see one on you.
I do not.
Okay, that's fine. That's not bad. And the last book you read, Chad, was it paper or was it electronic?
It was paper.
Oh, close.
It was Interpretive Guidelines to ISO 9001:2000.
Fascinating read. Were you trying to get to sleep?
It worked.
Well, that's going to be an easy one to beat, Kirk. So we're going to ask you these same questions and see if you can just whoop them here right in front of them.
I think we already know who the winner
break
is.
Break into your house. How many old school desktops do we find?
None.
That's a good answer. How many cell phones have you purchased in the last year?
I believe two, both for work.
Okay. And do you have a personal Twitter feed?
I don't.
A personal blog?
I don't.
What kind of smartphone do you have?
Windows phone.
A Windows phone. That's an unusual choice. I see more developers using it because they just like the look. And what's the most popular app on that phone you've used in the last month?
I actually like an app called Zeit, Z-I-T-E. It's great for collecting news from different sources.
Zeit, Z-I-T-E. Mm-hmm. Well, I think our listeners would be interested in that. And now, break into your house tonight. How many tablet devices do we find?
A lot. We have between my wife and my son and myself. I'm afraid we may have Chad beat. I have to count them all up between. I have to count them all up.
Now that's quite an answer, isn't it? Wow.
Well, I have the Surface. Is that a tablet device? It's hard to tell.
Oh no, you're not going to catch up here. I'm afraid. You know. What did there's a famous Dorothy Parker once said, you can't be too rich and you can't be too thin. And I guess in you can't have too many tablet devices.
You know, we have more than I can count on my
fingers. So, Kurt, when was your last post in a social networking site?
It's all done through work. So,
that's a weak answer.
Yeah,
okay.
So I didn't post anything.
Kirk, do you have a mobile fitness device?
I don't.
Oh. And the last book you read, was it paper or electronic?
It was paper.
Well, Chad, I think you whooped him on this one. Fair and square. You're the nerd in the room here, buddy. You're the card-carrying nerd.
Yep, and this should serve as reinforcement that Kirk needs a blog.
Yes.
And a Twitter feed.
And we'll get the chair out and hit him with that.
He's the card-carrying techie for certain. He works very closely with our CIO, Jared, who is... he's uber techie.
I work with software developers all the time, and software developers and nerds have very strongly held opinions about hot sauce and sports teams and vacations and motorcycles, very highly opinionated. And I always like to ask people like you your opinion on what's going to happen in the next 5 or 10 years here. So, Kirk, I'm going to give you this crystal ball here and look in your the future here and say, what's going to happen in the next 5 to 10 years, just in general, with compliance with the federal government, public-private partnerships? Are they going to work these things out? New technology going to be the answer? Or is new technology going to be vulnerable to viruses and cybersecurity threats? Where do you see this all heading?
Well, I think I'll hit on a few points and let Chad talk on some as well. One of the things that we're seeing, especially on this on these partnerships, is the opportunity to help some of these help organizations create solutions that they have been working inside for so long, and they're finding that opportunities to help their customers and to create efficiencies for their customers and their organizations are found by private organizations such as ourselves who have these solutions available. In addition to that, obviously everybody is taking a step forward in delivering these solutions through mobile devices. For our parent company, Kola, one of those opportunities is actually having those mobile devices, tablets, in that laboratory so that they're collecting data, walking around with it, making it a lot better, easier for them rather than trying to collect it on paper, take it back to a computer so that they can update it on some type of application or in their browser. So we're really seeing a jump from for companies on that from a mobile perspective, especially on the native applications. And I think these relationships are very hot for us right now. We're having more and more organizations contact us about solutions that we've created and how we can take those solutions and help them implement those solutions so that they can better help their customers.
Well, the Tennessee Titans have a two-minute drill, Chad. I'm going to give you the 30-second drill. Tell me about the future in 30 seconds. Go.
Well, federal government and compliance, there's certainly a future. There's plenty of organizations out there like ours are putting technology solutions in place, and plenty of consultants out there. It's definitely public-private partnerships. I've been involved in the conversation enough to see that, you know, that is something that the federal government is still going to continue to lean heavily on. There are more and more CMS-deemed authorities for Medicare payments. Health care organizations specifically need to be able to report very quickly the right information to show that they're in compliance with things like HIPAA. I know that HHS is looking to maybe a third-party relationship for HIPAA audits. So the triple P is where it's going.
And public-private partnerships. It's great. We're going to have to end the interview here and see exactly what happens in 4 or 5 years. It's going to be a fun road, and I'll be there reporting from the radio studio and maybe using multiple devices at the same time. You've been listening to Federal Tech Talk with John Gilroy here on Federal News Radio 1500 AM. In the studio, my guest was Kirk Kauser, CEO, and Chad Baker, director at a company called Next Logic. Thank you, gentlemen.
Thank you, John.
Thank you so much.
You've been listening to Federal Tech Talk with John Gilroy of Lectromech, providing solutions to design, certify, and maintain aircraft wire systems. If you missed any part of this program, you can hear the entire show on our website, federalnewsradio.com. Federal Tech Talk, Tuesday mornings at 9, only on federalnewsradio.com and 1500 AM.
Federal News Radio's Mike Causey is on Twitter. Follow him at mcauseywfed for his latest columns covering federal pay, benefits, and retirement. At mcauseywfed.